Fellow Freedom fans, David Allen Carmichael with my Faith and Freedom Show. I'm going to talk about the issues of the day on a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, and the basis of right versus wrong. Today's topic is called the right perspective. It is something that I did back in February of 2008. And I encourage you to stop and think about what's happening today. What's the basis of your thought process? I had a lot of people responding to the show. I did it in southeastern Virginia in the Hampton Roads metropolitan area back in February 2008. And I got folks commenting on our blog at faithfreedoms.net. They were hostile to the things that I had to say during this broadcast. So we're going to do three segments now of the show that I entitled The Right Perspective. And you may think it's a wrong perspective, and I would like you mentally, spiritually, and in every way, go toe-to-toe with me on this conversation. So think about, take notes of what I'm saying, think about it, and consider it. And my hope is that this will be a ringing a bell of truth to show us what we need to be thinking about and what are the challenges our society faces as our society continues on this path to a pandemic of dementia. Our freedom will come in proportion to our faith, and I try to use examples. Some of the things I'm going to talk about today will show where our perspective of faith affects our freedom. And when it affects the things we do, the things that we do can affect our freedom. It can make things freer and more secure in America, or it could lead to more chaos, which really ultimately is a loss of our freedom. And often we're going to be talking about that. I had some feedback. Again, I got called by somebody last week who said they really appreciated the kind of conversations we're having on this radio program about the thoughts of the founding people who put this country together in the first place and some of that perspective, because it's not being taught in our schools. There's some mention of some people, some famous people, the people that might show up on a statue in Washington, D.C., but nobody's really quoting them. I've actually got a couple of quotes today from some of the founders, and I thought, you know what? They are not quoting this, most likely in Virginia schools. I'm just going to go to one right now. It wasn't on my list of things to do, but as I just said that, I thought of it. One of the things that are going on in our country is that we're excluding the discussion of Almighty God, the Creator, from our discussions at schools. So our public schools, I would say the National Education Association, they're rearing our children. They're training them in how to think and what to believe, and they're doing it with an exclusion of God. They're very carefully doing it with an exclusion of God. Now, it is the parents' responsibility to bring up the children in the way that it should go, and that includes their education. In fact, if you look back in the common law, and if you want to go read American jurisprudence on common law, you'll find that one of the responsibilities, or some of the responsibilities of fathers, is to raise their children. And fathers are actually responsible for the rearing of their children and the education of their children. If you don't raise and educate your children, then under the common law, it was a crime. And you could be punished if your children were not showing themselves to be responsible. The father was being held accountable. Well, what we've done is we've kind of turned it over to a public education system, which does not teach our children right versus wrong. They make them get into, I guess it teaches them debate sometimes, how to think of things. And as I just said, I thought about a comment that President Bush said again in the 2007 State of the Union address. And if I can find that, I've actually got it here someplace. But he talked about this need of our education system to be teaching our children values. Well, if we're teaching our children values, excluding God from the discussion, there's a potential for great catastrophe. So after saying that, what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to quote James Madison. And back in 1785 in Virginia, somebody had come up with a plan where they would tax people and take the taxes and give that tax money to churches to support pastors and church activities. and it would be effectively a state-run church. And there was, you know, there was all kinds of debates of why it was important to have a state-run church, because, you know, you don't want to take God out of government. God authored government. God is using government to save us, to protect our rights and protect our liberties. But what they would be doing would be coercing people with the force of government to take their money and then give it to a particular religious teaching that was approved by the state. That's where it gets a little bit tricky. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to read here from James Madison something he said in what he called a remonstrance. He called it Memorial and Remonstrance Against Religious Assessments. It is the duty of every man to render to the Creator such homage and such only homage as he believes to be acceptable to him. But it goes on there. It says, before any man can be considered as a member of civil society, he must be considered as a subject of the governor of the universe. And if a member of civil society, do it with saving his allegiance to the universal sovereign. I was actually going to be talking about this on kind of a little bit different subject here today, but this one line that he said, before any man can be considered as a member of civil society, he must be considered as a subject of the governor of the universe. Now, how is our public school going to teach that in our civics classes when they have to exclude God from the discussion? That is one issue. That is one perspective of the things that are going on that need to be talked about in America that aren't being talked about. And that is one of the visions of this Faith and Freedom show, is to talk about these things so that when you're driving, I think about people driving by in their cars. There's a lot of, I spend my time listening to talk radio while I'm driving. So if you're driving in your car, my hope is that I'm going to be saying things that ring the bell of truth. And it's a ding, 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 ding. Oh my goodness, what he just said is true. I mean, that's hit me to the core. And I want to remember that. And actually, I want to apply it to my life. That's my hope. When I hear talk radio, I hear people complaining about other, you know, conservatives or liberals, and they're all complaining about each other. And it's kind of entertainment. I don't want to talk about the person. I want to talk about what they say. I want to talk about what their ideas are and why an idea is dysfunctional. Not that, oh, that's the bad guy. That's a bad guy idea. We're the good guy ideas. So we're going to come back. I'm going to talk a little bit more about what our vision is for this Faith and Freedom show. And we're going to get right into some of those discussions.
Are you looking for a good way to help others who are helping others? Let us advertise your favorite ministry organization, and your advertising gift will support our Faith and Freedom broadcast airtime costs at the same time. Come join us in our Give Unto Others advertising campaign. Contact us by phone at 757-850-1245 or by email at faithfrontier@verizon.net.
This Faith and Freedom broadcast is brought to you by Freedom Ministries. You can find out more about Freedom Ministries on the internet at www.faithfreedom.org or by calling 757-850-1245. I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth.
I'm David Allen Carmichael. We're back, and I just beat up my microphone. So that's what that funny, strangely non-technical noise was. Hey, while we were on the break, I found the statement made by President Bush in the 2007 State of the Union Address. He says, spreading opportunity and hope in America also requires public schools. I'm making myself stop right there. I hadn't read that yet until I just did just now. Spreading opportunity and hope in America requires public schools that give children the knowledge and character they need in life. Then, you know, it's funny. And he went on and talked about, you know, they passed the nonpartisan No Child Left Behind Act. But that statement, it also requires public schools that give children the knowledge and character they need in life. I am so thankful for public schools. Good things can be had and done in public schools. But that is not the foundation, the the rock solid foundation where our children are supposed to be getting their knowledge and character. That's very difficult. That's, you know, I don't want the National Education Association to be the parent of my children, and I don't want them to learn their social skills from eight-year-old peers. That is not where my children need to be learning. You know, that's the kind of thing. We hear these phrases, and we kind of get in strange debates over these issues, moral issues, and particularly I'm going to be talking about stem cell research, embryonic stem cell research. I had a gentleman come to me. He's a teacher in a Christian school, and he's very much a proponent of embryonic stem cell research. And he says, well, those embryos were going to be destroyed anyway. Should we let them go to waste? Well, you know, it sounds so really neat to an untrained mind, maybe a mind that had been reared by the National Education Association. But there's a bigger picture here. There's a fundamental knowledge that comes that would make you understand that it's wrong, that it's dysfunctional, that it's going to lead to chaos and destruction. It is a blight on our society, the fact that we're doing it. Now, stem cell research itself, taking stem cells out of my skin and playing with it a little bit, I am not really offended by that. Being fruitful and multiplying, I'm not really being offended by that. But buying and selling the souls of men for the convenience of men is wrong. It's absolutely wrong. There are rights and there are wrongs. Just like in gravity, the law of gravity, you hang out with gravity, you apply gravity, you make it work for you, everything works out nicely. But when you start ignoring the law of gravity and you jump off a cliff, there's going to be a catastrophe. So there's some laws of nature, there's some laws of right versus wrong that the Creator has implemented in our societies, in our family existence, and the way that we work things out in our family, and in the laws of nature with regard to gravity and aerodynamics and all that kind of stuff. When we start doing things that are wrong, there's going to be a consequence. We're not going to work our way ahead, even in the laws of nature. You can't defy the laws of nature and start producing more energy than you're using. It's not going to happen. And that's sort of what men are trying to do, using innocent and vulnerable and unprotected developing human beings. It's wrong. And it's going to bring a continued catastrophe on our society unless we can push reset and reverse the trend. So I'll be talking about that. But what is the basis of your decision-making, of your thought process, of why you think something would be right or wrong? What are you basing on? What do you feel? You know, some people say, well, I feel this, or I think this. But what do you know? What is the basis of your knowledge? So some of these things that we're going to be talking about, my goal and my vision is that this discussion has to be had, but it's not being had. We're hearing bantering from some very well-qualified talk radio people, but they're not talking about why something is right or wrong. They're just kind of berating it to stir up some entertainment on talk radio. And so we want to be more than that. This is a talk radio. And sometimes when people call, I actually really enjoy the conversation. And some people are kind of get stage fright when they get on the radio. And sometimes they won't hang in there in the conversation that I'll try to take them through. But I would love to have your call, because it gets exciting when somebody asks a question and I've got to do the tap dance to make sure I'm on the ball with what they ask about. So that makes things exciting. But my whole point will be to bring the whole conversation back down to the fundamentals that will make us free. And yes, I'm a Christian.
I'm going to take a break here on this topic, the right perspective. It is intended to be provocative. I want you to be thinking about what I'm saying, taking notes, and stay tuned here to this Faith and Freedom Show, and we shall return.